This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, Mike Brennan, anyway, we're not sure if Matt's a little AWOL or something. We hope he's coming in today. We haven't heard from him. But we sure have a full studio as I look around at all these women. Not you, Rick, of course, but everybody else, I'm surrounded by women today. So, but first we have Enrico Schaefer coming in from Traverse City. We'll get to him in a second. And then after that, we're going to have Kathleen Norton-Schock. And she has brought a guest today. Tell us about your guest there, Kathleen.
My guest is Jane Sadlowski, founder of AMI Strategies, a company that's celebrating its 25th anniversary this year.
All right. Okay, great. And we have Rachel Downs. She's giving me that look. Introduce your guest.
Thanks, Mike. Today, I'm happy to have Gwen Jamir. And Gwen is the founder and CEO of Naturalicious, one of the fastest growing African, American African.
You could do it. We're only live, you know, so.
African American, or I should say, fastest growing hair care companies for women of color.
Thank you. Very good. And we also have Rick Becker is here, who is going to be announcing the Cloud Tech One University.
That's right.
Lead in there a little bit, Rick.
That's right. Happy to be here this afternoon. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, great. Well, let's go back to Enrico in Traverse City. And so it's been hot news on the drone front. Is that right, Enrico?
Yeah, Mike. Lots going on in the world of drones, as per usual.
Okay, so starting off with the FAA has announced finalization of Part 107 regs. It's going to come in June, right? So explain what that means.
Well, you know, we've been operating under this temporary system for commercial drone use. We have to get a Section 333 exemption from the FAA in order to fly for business. And so it's a very difficult and time-consuming process to get a Section 333 if you want to open up a drone business where you're going to be flying and taking real estate photographies or doing inspections or agricultural inspections, or doing, you know, movie and film, advertising, any of that kind of stuff. So for about a year and a half, we've been operating under the Section 333. Well, the FAA for years has been working on a set of regulations that will allow companies to just simply fly under the regulations. As long as you comply, you're good to go. Those regulations are affectionately known as Part 107. Now, the FAA finished its job last fall. It's now at the executive branch for review. And Michael Huerta, who is the administrator of the FAA, has said again as of last week that he thinks the FAA will be ready to finalize Part 107 by the end of June. And so we'll move from this very limited approach to one where anyone can fly a drone as long as you have a drone pilot license. And that'll be relatively easy to get. So the floodgates, Mike, are going to open up on commercial drone use sometime this year, and maybe even by late summer or early fall, that Part 107 will be not only finalized, but implemented.
So what does this mean for recreational use? Are they going to have to get pilot's licenses too, or just the commercial folks?
Just the commercial folks, Mike. So if you're a recreational drone user, meaning that you're just flying for fun, there's no business purpose behind your flight, then you just have to comply with a series of community standards, which are relatively straightforward, but you do not need a pilot's license. The big things you want to remember, Mike, if you're just flying for fun, is you want to stay away from all manned aircraft, stay away from airports. Definitely don't fly over anyone that's not part of your flight. So if there's a crowd or other people around, you need to fly your drone away from them, and definitely don't go over them, because the FAA does not take kindly to flying a drone over people who do not provide consent, have not been advised of the risks, and are not part of the flight operation.
How would someone identify a drone that's broken the rules? They don't have N numbers on drones yet, do they?
Well, they do, but, Mike, they're hard to see. So
it's not like
an airplane where the tail numbers are right there on the tail, right? This is a drone, and so the only way you would ever see the tail numbers is if the drone came down near you and you were able to inspect the drone and find the tail numbers. And there should be a number on every drone, whether recreational, is it recreational registration process or commercial, that's the classic N number process. So they are very difficult to see. What you have to do if you see someone that's flying illegally is contact the local police or the local field office for the FAA, and hopefully you're able to get enough information about who is conducting the flight that they'll be able to bird dog it and find out who's responsible.
Are transponders next so that you'll be able to identify them on the controllers will be able to identify them on the screens?
You know, that's something that's always being debated, and I think that we are going to see that at some point. We're probably a couple years away. The FAA and the Congress have not really proposed any regulations along that line, but accountability is the key, right? If you could just put your drone in the air and no one's going to know it's you, or it's going to be hard to find out it's you, you're going to feel a lot looser in your flight operations than if someone can actually pull up an app, see your drone in the sky, and see that that drone belongs to you. And so I think on the accountability front, we are probably a couple years away from that, but I think it's inevitable, Mike.
Well, in theory, you're supposed to be line of sight on drones, but I guess if you're breaking the rules, you're breaking the rules, and it wouldn't necessarily be where you could see the controller operating the drone, right?
Yeah, and even line of sight, since these drones go so far, I can fly my drone pretty far away, and then if you were to figure out what line of sight was around that drone, it would be a pretty wide circle that I could be anywhere in that circle. So I've seen so many drones flying where you literally cannot see who's operating the drone. And that drone may still be within line of sight, but, you're not able to see who the operator is.
Okay. And we should remind folks that they're pretty severe penalties if you break the rules. Why don't you tell folks how severe they are?
They are very severe. It could be, big tens of thousands of dollars of fines or more, and it could be 4 years in jail. In fact, one Chicago company by the name of Skypan got hit with a $1.9 million proposed fine by the FAA as a result of operations they were conducting back in 2012 and 2013.
Wow. Well, if that doesn't get your attention, nothing will, right? So.
What? That's always the showstopper where I talk to people, Mike, and on the phone, and they say, well, there's a lot of people doing it. I don't really think the FAA is going to really care or what have you. And I always tell them, look, your risk of getting caught may not be that great, but the consequences if you do get caught are really significant. So you just want to fly safe, fly within the rules, and there won't be any problems.
I've also seen a lot of stories lately. I think I saw a German drone that a person got inside. Now, I think it had 18 rotors on it or something like that. Are we moving to the era where you're going to be able to fly your own drone to work?
The technology is already close. And it's the weird thing about drones, Mike, is that it's this real intersection in technology advancement across all kinds of different products and industries. So we've got self-driving cars. So those are autonomous cars, right? You can't, unless you're in Cupertino, you can't have a driverless car because the laws and regulations don't allow for it. And yet we can have autonomous drones that are flying with GPS signals, et cetera. And those in some instances are illegal. And so the people in the autonomous technology sector are running towards drones because that's the first thing that hit the market that can be legal. So you've got that. And then you've got virtual reality, which is really starting to come alive in gaming and lots of other industries. And not only that, but in business applications. When you as a manager can go inspect your plant from 2,000 miles away with goggles on and allow you to look in whatever direction you want, that's a big advancement forward. And, of course, drones, FPV, front point of view, racing goggles, and the racing part of the sport is all about virtual reality and virtual reality technology.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing we haven't talked about is that they have a drone racing league. I've been tracking it. It's amazing. They just had a big competition in some exotic place like Monte Carlo or something or other. And
Dubai, they had a big drone race out there. And, of course, you'll never guess that of all the contestants from around the world, there's several million, 10 million in prize money or something. And the person that took home the top prize is a 50-year-old kid. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah. What else is going on out there?
You know, I think the biggest thing right now is we're seeing a lot of training facilities that are gearing up to train drone pilots. So you know, there's going to be this thing called a Small Unmanned Aerial Systems Certificate, SUAS certificate, which is the type of a pilot certificate that will, under Part 107, be offered. So you want to, you know, it costs a lot of money, $7,000 or so, to become a sport or rec level pilot on a single prop, uninstrumented plane. However, you could become a drone pilot, as exciting as that is, for a couple $100 ground school, and I think that you'll see that by the end of this year. And, you know, there's all the movies out there, Top Gun, et cetera, where the pilot gets the girl in the end. So the good news is, Mike, you just go get that drone pilot license, and you are going to be all set, my friend.
Is that it? That's going to be like a check magnet then, right? So
completely. Everyone's
what an appropriate
pilot.
Session to mention that on, Enrique.
I'm a pilot.
So pilots, yes. Well, actually, I've been advocating, that we should have some training for drone pilots, because now over the holidays, over the last holidays, there was at least 500,000 or so drones sold, upwards of 1 million, some say. And so there's a lot of rookie drone pilots out there around the country, and they just take them out of the box and fly them, right? So that's not such a good thing.
No, it really is. I mean, the technology cost has come down so dramatically that for anywhere from $400 on up to $1,200, you can get an incredible piece of technology and literally pull it out of the box, and you're ready to go and you're ready to fly from a operation standpoint. But you should be very, very careful with your drone. You should learn how to fly it. You should not push beyond your limits as you get rolling with it. If for no other reason than, you know, the old joke is that of all the drones sold on Christmas, by December 26, half of them were out of commission because the pilots crashed them. If you're going to buy a $500 or $1,000 piece of equipment, you're going to shed a tear when it crashes into the tree and busts into a billion pieces, and that's it. So be careful. Learn to fly. Fly safe, and we're going to have a really successful U.S. drone integration.
So drone insurance is the business everyone should go into next, right? So
it is big, and in fact, both sides of the equation, both getting insurance, and of course insurance companies are going to be using drones. I just came back from a big conference by one of the world's largest insurance companies. They have a round table, and they're bringing the construction companies that are doing the World Trade Center and stadiums around the world, and they're all about safety, right? Because the insurance cost depends on how many claims there are and how many injuries there are in the workplace. Well, drones are going to be a big part of that insurance piece.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that, Enrico. Why don't you tell folks, if they want to know more about Drone Law Pro, where they can find you?
Sure, Mike. So if you want to give us a call, if you have any questions, we're always happy to speak to people. It's www.dronelaw.pro.
All right. Well, that's Enrico Schaefer calling in from Traverse City. And next up is going to be Kathleen Norton Schock. And we're going to be talking with her friend, well, actually, old friend of mine, Jane Sidlowski, celebrating 25 years in business at AMI. But first, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and unfortunately, Matt Roush, we're not sure where Matt is today.
He's skipping school.
Is that must be it. He's AWOL, so he's going to get a demerit next time I see him. But we have with us, we have a whole bunch of people in the studio with us, but next up is Kathleen Norton-Shock, who comes back with her Diva Tech Talk interview. And she has Jane Sidlowski here. And tell us all about Jane.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. Before we go to Jane, a couple of shout-outs. As you know, my favorite nonprofit in the state is the Michigan Council of Women in Technology.
Heard of them, yeah.
And on
you mean right behind Inform.
Right.
Right, yeah. We love Inform, too. So.
And they're having a very large event on May 12th down at Cobo, and there are still some available tickets. It's called MCWT's Executive Connections Summit. The keynote speaker, the first one of the day, will be Mary Barra, who is the CEO and head of the board of GM. And has been named as the most powerful woman in the country.
Next to Hillary, right?
Right. And the luncheon speaker is an ex-Tomcat fighter pilot, female Tomcat fighter pilot. And in between, we have a lot of great panels. Marcy Cleverhorn from Ford will be there. The woman who's the CIO from Symantec will be there. The woman who's the CIO from QVC will be there. Definitely worth attending.
Will Jane Sidlowski be there?
Absolutely.
Of course she will.
That's high level there, you know.
So. And then the next.
With my friend Terry Takai. We're actually going together.
Good old Terry, yes.
So the fact is you can get your tickets at www.mcwt.org, and it's at Cobo Hall in Detroit. And then secondly, since the last time I was here, the Divas have had a great month. We have three more podcasts that have just gone out. The first, since last time we saw you, we're now on podcast 30. But podcast number 28 was Carrie Pashlaw, president of Fast Switch, talking about the IT recruiting world. Then after that.
Which was awesome. Please listen to that one.
Jane loved that one.
Yes.
Then right after that, we had Carla Thomas, who is a global security director for a company called Tower International. So she was talking about her path and how she came from being an instructor in IT to all the way doing what is a global business now for a company that, of course, has restructured, having come out of bankruptcy. So a lot of what she's been doing has been really exciting. And then last but not least, we are releasing tomorrow Michelle Billingsley, who is the Senior Vice President and CIO for Blue Care Network, and she has a very inspiring story. So please go to www.divatechtalk.com to listen to all of those. Now, speaking of divatechtalk.com, our episode number 4, we are at 30 now, our episode number 4, we entitled Fearless Jane, because we had an interview with my next guest, Jane Sidlowski.
She's frowning when you said that. So.
Yes. Because one of her precepts for women was be courageous, take risk. And she's a person who's been doing that for a quarter of a century. So we're going to talk a little bit about her company because it's a big celebration this year. So, Jane, you founded AMI in 1991, and it's celebrating its 25th anniversary. Tell us about how and why you founded the company.
Thank you, Kathleen. I would love to. I attended Michigan State University, received an applied engineering degree, started my career at Michigan Bell Telephone Company.
Which
at the time had recently gone through deregulation with AT&T. And I was responsible for helping the carriers design their networks as they interfaced with Michigan Bell's network. And I saw a huge disparity between marketing and reality with all of the carrier startups. And after 5 years, decided that I needed to tell the business community the truth and help them make righteous, fact-based decisions. And I had just received my MBA from Wayne State University, was in my late 20s, not married, and it was now or never. So 25 years later, we are still helping clients make righteous, fact-based decisions.
Righteous. I'm intrigued by that word.
I like it, too.
Yeah.
It lives on and permeates the AMI culture.
So what is AMI's major mission, Jane?
So many have heard me say that AMI removes the fat in technology invoices and fat in the process to pay them. The real strategic mission is to provide our clients with the optimal technical, financial and operational results through the management of their technology estate, which includes correlating invoices, contracts, inventory, people, and orders.
So what are your most important products and services? Can you give them some names for us and tell us what each of them does offer to your customers?
Absolutely. I will share four, and for the sake of time, four programs. So the first program is called TEMnow, Technology Invoice Management with Audit, Savings, and Recovery. So this is a program that was developed because it's a common statistic that there are 20% errors in telecom-based invoices, and that still exists today. And so we have a TEMnow cloud-based system that automates error discovery and invoice processing. So that's the first program. The second one is the TEMnow Wireless Optimization Program. So we all know that these wireless devices have taken on a life of their own in these large enterprises, and it's a fluid, dynamic environment with many moving parts. And the industry waste statistic is even higher than the 20% errors. It's 30% in excess being paid to these wireless providers, and it's because of lack of plan management. So our optimization algorithm has the intelligence to display what to change at an individual user level to maximize the financial operational results. And we validate these results on the actual invoices the next month that they come in. So it's a very exciting, very fruit-bearing program for our clients. The third program is TEMnow Benchmarks. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in our TEMnow system from all of our clients. We extrapolate, genericize, and organize the data and help our clients with budgets and contract negotiations. And the fourth program is our wireless help desk. And we talked a little bit earlier about how the wireless devices have taken on a life of their own. And organizations simply do not want to build an internal practice to manage these devices. It's very painful. But who better than the company that actually has the data, the users, the devices, the contracts, the policies, the vendors, and all of that in one system than to handle the request for a new order or a disconnect? So AMI has a very productive wireless help desk. So all four of these programs basically follow our mission, which is to reduce expenses and help our clients with efficiencies.
You are, in fact, the Weight Watchers of the telecom industry.
Beautiful, Kathleen. I love that.
Okay, so.
Can she use it? Yeah. Sure.
You know me, I'm generous.
Okay. Well, let me look at Rick. You're in this business. What do you think of all that? Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One.
Absolutely. Jane's programs are dovetailing right up with what we're doing in the cloud industry, and cost recovery is very, very important. And so I'm definitely looking forward to further conversations.
And isn't it great that you met today?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So speaking of your customers, Jane, can you tell us about who they are, what they use the products for? Well, we know what they use the products for because you've described that. Tell us who some of your customers are and how long they've been with you and what they're getting out of doing business with you.
Okay. Well, I will recite a few. State of Michigan, Visteon, their global invoices come to us. American Red Cross, 2,000 locations, all of their invoices come to us. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Ecolab, and so many more. So we are helping all of them. We make fact-based, righteous decisions.
Righteous. I love
righteous.
That. Yes.
And as a result, on average, they receive 2x the return, meaning 2x more hard dollars than the fees that they pay us, of course. So
it was the other way around. They probably wouldn't like it too well.
They wouldn't like it. They would say, "What is this? What is the point?" But there is a trifecta win. So they have hard dollar savings. They have an efficient process, a paperless efficient process, and then visible, transparent data at their fingertips for strategic decision making.
So I'm pretty certain, knowing Mike and his background, that there are aspiring entrepreneurs in his big audience of people for this podcast. Can you give some advice to people who have started companies more recently? How do you start a successful company and run it for 25 years, a woman-founded technology company in the Midwest?
Yeah, before that was even cool, right? You know, so yeah.
Way before your time.
So happy that it's cool now.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd be happy to share some advice from the last 25 years. So I'll try to go quickly here. But so the three pieces of advice would be, first of all, keep your guiding principles close. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you are going to need to have those guiding principles in very close at hand. Kathleen knows that I'm a very faith-based believer in God, and He's my rock. And
that's where that righteousness comes from, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I knew it was coming from somewhere.
So, you know, every entrepreneur is going to have some really dark days, and you may have more dark days than light days.
I can guarantee.
And so you better have your rock. So that's advice number one. Advice number two, respect your team, hire your team, love your team more than yourself and more than your clients. It's easy to get caught up in yourself, your own needs, and your clients who are paying the bills. Ironically, though, your team matters and are the ones who are 100% invested in caring your mission forward. And so whether they're doing that through evangelical means or simply performing quality work, love your team, respect your team. And the last one is listen closely to your clients. By listening to them, they will share ways for you to take your company and your services to new heights, meaning truly expanding your capabilities and your product lines, and then serendipitously, you'll have a much closer relationship with those clients.
Righteous.
So righteous relationship. I like that.
So with 25 years under your belt, Jane, what is your vision for the next 25 years for AMI Strategies?
Sure. Well, our success has been based on the ability to keep pace with the rapid evolution of technology. 25 years ago, we had paper. And then we moved to working with EDI, and now, of course, we have a software as a service system that works in any browser. So that is our, that has been our success. The next evolution is the Internet of Things. AMI Strategies will be a key player in the Internet of Things by managing the data and the analytics and the invoices associated with those things. So invoicing is getting more complex and is certainly not going away.
Jane, this is all a lot of great wisdom. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Whatever you do, write your own story. Surround yourself with awesome people like I am here right now, because I'm super excited to be here with these new friends. And choose joy.
Thanks very much, Jane. Again, episode 4 at Diva Tech Talk is Fearless Jane, where, in fact, Jane talks a lot about her personal journey. Today we spent a lot of time on her company. But if you go to www.divatechtalk.com and go to episode 4, you'll find Courageous Jane. So thanks very much, Mike.
You can also find it at MI Tech News, because we have a Diva Tech Talk podcast section.
And we're great collaborators.
Yes. Yes, we are. And we have to add in Forum, I suppose, right?
Absolutely. We partner with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology all the time. And Rosemary Baer, who was the founder and is the current executive director, was the lead Engage instructor for our entrepreneurial programs. And Kathleen's partner, Nicole Johnson Scheffler, is a co-founder of Diva Tech Talk. And then, you know, just to kind of round it out, Jane is not just a friend, she's a former client. So,
whoa, we got it all going.
Back
there.
In my commercial real estate days, I represented American MegaComp as it was known then.
Yeah.
We're going to have to leave it at that, because we got to go to a quick break. But you've been listening to Rachel Downs there at the end, and she's going to be back with her guests for a whole segment. This is Mike Brennan without Matt Rausch, but we'll be back. Hey, it's Mike Brennan. I'm flying solo today. Matt isn't with us, but boy, we sure got a whole bunch of other people with us, including Rachel Downs from Inform, VP of Entrepreneurial Strategies.
Good job.
Well, you know, after all, practice makes perfect, right? And with her is Gwen Jameer of, I'm going to get this right, Naturalicious.
Did Good I job. Get
you nailed it.
Tongue-tied there, yes. tell us all about that. What is that all about?
So Naturalicious is the first all-natural hair care system that is designed specifically for curly hair. We make a four-step system that does the work of 13 products. So our customers love it because it ends up saving them 80% of the time they generally spend on their hair and over 60% of the money they normally spend.
Well, that second part's a real good thing, right?
Yeah. So.
Gwen's actually participating in our current Engage Masterclass, which is designed to help existing entrepreneurs grow and scale their companies to reach that revenue milestone of $1 million or more and or successfully position their companies for angel investment. Gwen's already reached that revenue milestone.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, she was featured in Fortune magazine, which is how I found her.
Really?
And she's just got an absolutely fascinating story about how she started Naturalicious.
Sounds like a segue. Go ahead. Take it away.
well, we only have a limited amount of time, so I'll try to make this really quickly.
In the next 12 minutes.
Yeah. Basically, I started my company purely out of necessity. I was pregnant with my son, and at the time, I had just seen a movie called Good Hair by Chris Rock, because Chris Rock is a producer. And in the movie, he takes a aluminum can and he submerges it into a vat of hair relaxer, which is what women use to straighten their hair.
Really?
And this can disintegrates within like seconds. And I'm pregnant, of course, so I'm emotional. And I'm like, oh my God, my baby's going to disintegrate. And I was like, no, this is not going to be something I'm going to be able to continue to do. So at that point, I decided I was going to start wearing my hair in its most curly, natural state. But I couldn't find any products that were truly natural. They all said natural on the label, but they really weren't. And so I went in my kitchen. I started mixing up formulas and, you know, just kind of concocting some stuff. I'm not a chemist at all. And I came up with the system. And it basically was this holy grail that I came up through trial and error with. And it allowed me to save so much time on my hair. And as a new mom, you can imagine that was very, very valuable to me. Also, I didn't happen to have a money tree in my backyard. So saving the time, saving the money was a huge plus for me as well. Well, I ended up just doing this as a hobby for a little while. And time went along and I ended up going through a divorce. So I was getting divorced from my then husband. And I ended up also losing my job just 30 days before the
It sounds like
final.
A country western song.
I know. Like, I just needed
did
somebody,
your dog die too?
I know. I need somebody in the corner plucking away at a guitar. But I ended up losing my job. I had $32 in the bank and I had this bright idea. Well, I guess I'll just start this company because I didn't have any other means of making money that day. I knew I could get a job, but it would take me a little while. You know, you got an interview and all that stuff. And $32 in the bank, bright idea, start this company, take this hobby and turn it into a business. And I did that. And that was 3 years ago on March 4th of 2013. And 3 months later, we were in our first Whole Foods store. Wow. So that's really how we got our kind of first big break.
Way to hustle.
Thank you.
3 months. That's spectacular.
Yeah. It was a hard 3 months.
I don't know anything about this area. Do you have to get some kind of
FDA.
FDA. Yeah, too many acronyms.
When you're looking to get into big box retailers, they do require that you have a actual licensed cosmetic chemist go through your formula, make sure it's not going to burn anybody's skin off.
Or milk cans or anything.
Exactly,
right?
Or milk cans.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that was a process that had to be done. But got into the first Whole Foods store, made sure that we did really, really well there. And we just kind of started moving from store to store after that. And now we're in several Whole Foods stores. We're also on 3 different continents.
Wow.
We're in Asia, South Africa, and America. And yeah, so here we are today.
Are you in Ann Arbor? I have a big whole full. This is one of those stores in Ann Arbor.
Yep, we're in that store also.
That's huge there, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I cut you off there.
That's okay. Gwen is really modest. And one of the things that I think is just so cool is she's actually the first African American woman to hold a patent for a natural hair care product in the United States. And she was just recently recognized as one of Detroit's 25 most powerful women.
Wow.
For the Walker's Legacy, which is a tribute to Madam T.J. Walker.
Madam C.J. Walker?
Yeah. Or did I say C.J.?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, she was a...
I'm tongue-tied today.
Okay. Hey, for those who don't know, Madam C.J. Walker was just a phenomenal woman. She was the first self-made female millionaire in America, regardless of race. She happened to be an African-American woman, the first of her family not born into slavery.
So this is like 100 years ago?
Yeah, like long time ago. And she also happened to own a hair care company, ironically enough. So it's been really, really cool. Her family actually reached out to me back in October of last year, and I got to go to her headquarters, which just happens to be a state over in Indiana. And I got to see this building that this phenomenal woman created. She was really, really philanthropic, gave back to specifically women who wanted to be business owners as well. So provided them opportunities to own their own businesses also.
Ah. So are you getting a lot out of the Engage program?
Oh, I love Engage. Rachel knows. I talk about Engage all the time. I am so honored and happy to be a part of it. I actually won't be there this Friday or this Saturday, and I'm so upset because I have to go to L.A., but I'm like, I really, really want to go to Engage. But yes, Engage has been phenomenal. Every single month that we meet is just a whole light bulb moment for me. I've come a long way in my business in 3 years, but there's so much that I learn at Engage, and having Rachel and Patty Glaza there as the facilitators has been incredible. I mean, just
the thing about entrepreneurship is you're good at something, but you're not good at everything.
Exactly.
Absolutely. In fact, the Engage Masterclass is really designed to support entrepreneurs in the leadership and organizational development of their company. So it's not a curriculum, but it's really a customized support program where founders come together and really address the challenges of growth and scale. Jane, I'm sure you absolutely would have loved to have been a part of, you know, a peer network back when you were starting out.
Absolutely.
And it's really incredibly beneficial for these entrepreneurs.
Jane. Sorry.
Yeah. Engage has just been... it's really been a blessing, to be honest. There's things, like you said, in leadership that... You know, when you're running your own business and you're kind of a one-woman show for a long time and you start to, hey, I need to hire some people to do this stuff so I can work on the business rather than in the business, that's really where Engage kind of comes in. It helps you with advisory boards and thinking about scale and sales and, you know, all sorts of stuff that you're, as the person running it, you just don't have time to constantly think about. But they really put it in your face and make you think about it and make sure that it happens. And they're so supportive, by the way.
Let me ask you a few technical details. Do you mix the stuff yourself or do you hire that out and somebody else uses your formula?
This is an excellent question. I actually, up until last week, I was still making all of my products in my basement.
Whoa.
So we've done a lot in my basement in this time. We're actually moving into a new facility at the end of the month. And I'm so excited because I've been waiting for this for several months. I've been trying to move somewhere. So we're moving into Pony Ride, which is, I think, in Corktown.
Yep.
We're moving there at the end of the month. So we're kind of moving stuff out of there. So, yes, I'm still making the products, but I do not fill, bottle, and label anymore. Someone else does that.
Wow. How many folks work for you now?
We have about 14 contractors and 2 employees.
Wow. That's great. You're doing wonderful.
Yeah.
3 years, I'm impressed, you know.
So. And like I said, she's already reached $1 million in revenue.
$1 million,
so she's cooking. No pun intended.
That's it. Now we got to get you some angel money and then some venture money, IPO, and then we're there, you know. So
she'll be back in Fortune magazine again.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back and I'll maybe be a facilitator for Engage.
Well, I want to say, I mean, the thing that's so inspiring about Gwen is not just her own personal story and reacting kind of to the necessity of your circumstances, but the fact that already you are so committed to giving back to the community. You know, one of the things that we stress at Engage is, and any of the women entrepreneurs that we work with, I'm like kind of militant about making sure that they have their pitch down tight. And that's militant. A 30-second pitch, a 1-minute pitch.
I can believe the militant part. I've seen the militant side.
I can believe the articulate part.
Oh, yeah. I think it's...
Thanks. I have to acknowledge both.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But again, entrepreneurs need to really understand how critically important it is to have an effective, compelling, and succinct pitch because that will open doors
at any time. 25 words or less. If
exactly.
You can't get it out by then.
I mean, if you're meeting with investors, you better have your 10-minute or your 30-minute backward and forward with your financials to back it up.
It really is a stump speech after a while.
It is. It is. So. And, you know, just to kind of share with the entrepreneurs that are listening, one of the ways that I help our entrepreneurs kind of hone their pitch and make sure that it's right is we recommend that you craft your talking points and you just rehearse and practice again and again. But one of the little tips and tricks that I like to use is I actually record it on my iPhone.
Oh.
And then I will listen to it. If I'm giving a speech, this is what I'll do if I've got to be ready in 24 hours or less. And then I'll listen to it even when I'm in the car driving. And eventually it's kind of like learning the words to a song. You have it down. You know, you want to have kind of your value proposition down in such a way that you can pull those talking points that are most relevant to your audience.
And also
demand.
Avoiding acronyms, I would think, right? I'm, we just did a podcast with a woman who talked about being relatable, and she's a CIO. And she said the one of the key things she learned along the way was to avoid the acronym. You know, use analogy if you need to, but avoid those funny little three and four, you know, letter things that don't mean anything to anybody outside
of
your business.
Well, it's inside baseball. All professions have that lingo.
Yeah.
They understand it, but everybody
buzzwords.
On the outside go,
right.
What? What is that?
Exactly. You know,
there are so many buzzwords in the entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Oh, yeah. Scalable yeah. and synergy and
yes.
all
absolutely.
That good stuff. Yeah.
And all that. Yeah. That's a great point, though. You've got to really boil it down into plain English.
Yeah. Or if you go global, then in plain French, plain Spanish.
Right. Great point.
Yeah.
So it was just Mother's Day yesterday. And Gwen, I'm always so kind of struck and inspired by kind of the stories that you've shared about how your mother has influenced your company's growth and success. Yes. And tell us about, she was the one who really kind of encouraged you to get a patent. That was something that you didn't really think was important initially.
No, I didn't think it was possible. My mom is not a co-signer, is what I'll call her. You know, not someone who's just like, oh, my daughter did this, so it's great. You know, that's not my mom at all. She's like, look, this is not a good thing or this is great. And when I knew that my mom was in love with my hair care line, I was like, oh my gosh, my mom likes it. That means it's the real deal. And she kept telling me, Gwen, you need to get a patent on this formula because someone's going to take this, like L'Oreal or, you know, whomever, and you're going to be sitting at home watching a commercial about it, and you're going to be so mad because they're going to be profiting millions, and you're going to be, like, twiddling your thumbs. And I was like, Mom, I don't think I can get a patent on a hair product. What are you talking about? And she just kind of kept at me every time I would talk to her, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, let me just look this up, you know, just to make her be quiet. And I found out that I could, and I realized that it was very expensive to do so. It was about $20,000 with an attorney, and I found out how I could go ahead and apply for the patent and receive it on my own. So I saved about $18,000 by doing it on my own, and I applied for the patent. It took me about 8 months to learn patent law, another 15 months to get the patent, and so after about 2 years total, I ended up getting the patent, which again made me the first African-American woman to own a patent on a natural hair care product.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's how it's done.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it at that. We're running out of time in this segment. God, I'm just so tongue-tied today. And I want to thank Gwen Jameer and Rachel Downs for being on the show today. You're certainly welcome to stick around for the next segment if you like.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
But we're going to be going to Rick Beckers, and he's going to tell us all about Cloud Tech One University.
So I have to run.
We'll be right back.
Good to see you.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and Matt Roush is not with us today. In fact, we're not sure where Matt is, but hopefully he's okay. But with us today is the sole male left, besides me, Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One. I keep wanting to say Cloud One Tech. Cloud Tech One.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good to see you, Rick. We had lunch today. He told me all about his new Cloud Tech One University, but why don't you tell the audience what it's all about?
Sure. Cloud Tech One University is an outcropping of an ongoing business that I've been in for 35 years, right? IT services, et cetera. And they've evolved into the cloud industry, a very broad and deep topic that people ask me about constantly, and there just never seems to be enough good answers about it. So over time, people kept coming to me, and I often was even looking for opportunities to speak and evangelize on the topic. I've spoken at Channel Partners in Las Vegas, which is like a telecom industry association. I've spoken in front of numerous local organizations, and eventually it just kind of became organic for me in that people were seeking me out for that topic. And at the end of the day, we decided to spin up a whole university to kind of tie all of the various entities in our industry together to talk about and evangelize cloud technology, whether that might be, you know, basic servers and storage and hosted this and that, or Internet of Things, machine to machine, et cetera. They're all cloud topics. And since we have a great technology community here in Southeast Michigan, I wanted to bring them all together to try to make Southeast Michigan the place to be for the cloud.
And you're actually bringing them all together at your Rochester Hills facility on May 18th. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. On May 18th, we've got two events, two seminars, if you will. 11 a.m., we're inviting in the business community to listen and learn about 4G LTE technology. One of our partners here in Southeast Michigan is Metro Wireless, and Dominic Serra, the CEO of Metro Wireless, is going to join us. His entire team is coming out, and they're going to show not only their products, but more specifically speak to where this communications capability fits into the cycle of things around here. And for us, one of the most prominent ways to use it is as a backup internet device, where everybody's got wired internet in general. If wired goes down, you know, what do you do? Go to another wired? So it makes sense to me to have wireless technology, and now that speed is up there, the cost is down, it's commoditized, it's portable. And so Metro will give everybody a little bit of information about that.
I know we're at 4G, but 5G is just over the horizon, right?
Correct. And the wireless technology as it is, you know, is covering the United States and the Earth eventually.
Right.
And that'll be the delivery mechanism of preference at some point in time when speeds are up and costs are down.
When we move to 5G, it's going to be like quantum leap, right? Exponential kind of leap in terms of bandwidth and those sorts of things?
Yep, that's true. And at this point, it's coverage, in my opinion, that will make wireless the highest adoption rate, if you will.
What about like in rural areas like northern Michigan where everyone has their cabins or their vacation or something or other up there? And I know it's pretty spotty up there.
Right. And that'll continue to be the challenge until so many devices, you know, jump onto the network that it makes sense for the carriers to build out into all those areas.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So now this is not a one-time thing, right? You're going to be doing this every month?
Correct. And I forgot to mention that there's also another session at 3 p.m. At our location on May 18th, and that is for industry professionals. So if you're in IT in any way, shape, or form, and you want to network with your peers and learn about this technology, that would be the session for you to come out and enjoy. And then we're going to have these sessions ongoing at least every month and increase the frequency based on what knowledge is out there that needs to be passed on, participation of various vendors and products as they come over the horizon, whatever we can do to make our business community in Southeast Michigan more knowledgeable.
And what's the charge for attending?
Zero.
That's a good charge.
We're a not-for-profit organization when it comes to Cloud Tech One University. If there are any expenses for these events, we will bear them, or we'll try to bring a vendor to bear so that for the business community, business owners, It's simply walk in, learn what you can, stay connected to us so that
give them a meal, maybe even? Is that
absolutely.
Right?
We're going to feed them. There'll be food and beverages at every event.
Okay. And so if somebody listening or either now or on demand wants to sign up, where do they go for that?
To sign up for the 11 a.m. session, the business session, go out to my website at cloudtech1.com. And if you are an industry professional and you want to network with your peers and collaborate, then you'll go out to cloudtechconnect.com.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about what you guys do at Cloud Tech One. How long have you been around? I know you've been in the industry a long time.
Right.
But I'm not sure how long the company's been around.
Well, prior to Cloud Tech One, which was a company that was branded in January of 2015.
Oh, very new then. Yep, yeah.
Rebranded from Pinnacle Tech, mm-hmm. which has been around for a long time. And Pinnacle Tech was an MSP. You know, managed service provider.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the acronyms.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, we just talked about that. No acronyms.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So we're a small, medium business IT outsourcing company.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Flat rate fees. People would pay us to manage all of their technology solutions. And cloud became a more and more prevalent tool for us to use on behalf of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Stars start to align. You know, internet speed is way up, so cloud technology works. Different vendors start hopping on board. There's maturity and commoditization of pricing. February of 2015, Microsoft looks me in the eye and says, "We're all in on the cloud."
Huh.
And this is management level Microsoft executives.
Not Bill Gates. He didn't call.
No, he didn't call.
Ballmer, he's a Michigan guy.
But the highest level people that I know.
Oh, okay.
So that tells you that when Microsoft is on board, that the technology is definitely something that's going to be proliferated across the industries.
Yeah, they're not an early adapter typically.
Right, you know, but we were.
Yes, we were.
So.
And you got some other heavyweights we talked about at lunch. You said Google is involved?
Yeah, Google, Amazon, all of the tier one, tier two vendors that are out there in the cloud industry
mm-hmm.
have already been contacted. They are queued up in terms of these webinars and seminars, and soon you'll start to see these committed dates on our website. If you go to the website today, and as it happens, that Metro Wireless show on May 18th is not for you, sign up anyway,
mm-hmm.
because at least then you'll have the ability to receive notification of the upcoming events. They won't always be in Rochester Hills. Again, we're a cloud company, so we don't want to lock ourselves down to brick and mortar.
Right.
We'll be virtual. We'll go where the action needs to happen in order to bring the best communication and capabilities to the people that are our audience.
I can see you rotating it to, say, Southfield, maybe downtown Detroit, Ann Arbor, you know, different months, and you get different audiences.
Absolutely. Depending on the size and the interest, you know, we'll pick a different venue that makes sense for everybody and rotate it around so everyone can participate in some way.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your background. Now, I know you've been in the industry, since you were riding dinosaurs or something, right? So not that long, but I know a long time, right?
Since the very beginning. I was actually a typewriter repairman.
Really?
Yeah. And I made a living. I was a certified Selectric typewriter. Everybody knows the typewriter with the ball on the top.
Yeah. And my mother had one of those.
So. Every GM plant. An automotive plant in Southeast Michigan was under a maintenance contract, and of course, until they started disappearing and going in the dumpsters, and then they became replaced with, eventually, computers.
Right, dump terminals connected to a mainframe.
Word processors, and then PCs came later on. I was one of the first certified network engineers in the state of Michigan, and I just followed that along. So office automation is that's all of my adult life. And so the cloud is just another methodology, you know, for getting things done. And the thing that excites me the most, and you wouldn't think so after 35 years, you'd think I was, you know, cut from a different cloth, is that I've been looking for, anticipating, and waiting for this ability for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm passionate about it. It excites me to be able to go to a business owner, you know, whether they're an incumbent name in their industry or if they're a new startup company with a great idea, this technology plays for any one of them in order to be more competitive, more efficient, more productive. It's even a cost savings formula. So,
excellent. So, and you, we even discovered that we have friends in common. You used to work out at Sequoia, which
right.
Auburn Hills, I think, wasn't it?
Right. Shout out to all my Sequoian friends.
John Bamberger, I haven't seen him in, 10 years at least, you know, probably longer than that.
Right.
So it's a small world. You know, the technology community here in Southeast Michigan, I'm not sure if it's 1,000, 2,000 people, but probably, I mean, they're really players that, you know, once you get to know them and get plugged in, you get to find out what's going on out there.
Right. And what I'm finding is a lot of my colleagues are now in different positions where they were doers before. They're now channel managers or just different executive level. But at the same time, what I'm hoping to do here through CloudTech One University is bring all those people back into my life and play a different role and maybe even become a part of the education process so that the people who haven't yet adopted the technology can do so securely, safely, and with the knowledge that it's something that'll work for them.
All right. And so you're out in Rochester Hills. You were mentioning how many folks you got working for you?
We've got 18.
Wow. That's a pretty good sized operation. And do you have any satellite offices or anything like that? Or?
No, we don't need to.
That's right. Operate out of the cloud, right? Yeah, there you go. So what are people – I mean, a lot of people hear a lot about the cloud, probably don't know really much about the cloud. Why don't you tell them in about 2 minutes that we have left, what's that all about and why they should be plugged into the cloud?
Sure. Well, very simply, there's a lot of different explanations for what the cloud is. But simplistically, the cloud is – a type of architecture whereby the main brains, hardware, software, et cetera, are located in a data center that's not your data center. And it's being time-sliced or cost-sliced across all of the stakeholders that utilize that technology in order to lower the cost to them. So think shared servers, think shared storage, think voice over IP hosted where you don't have a brain in the back room, but you got a handset on the table and you know, and it just works. And, of course, you've got infrastructure as a service, which is the server stuff. So you've got platform as a service, which is the operating system stuff. You've got software as a service, which is your line of business app or whatever you pick, Office 365, et cetera. And then there's so much more beyond that. But basically that's the concept and is being able to save the time and the energy and the money by utilizing technology that you don't own and bringing that to bear for your business.
And you got machine to machine, which people might not quite understand. They're thinking of Terminator here or something. So right. What is that all about?
Well, machine to machine is just that. It's the communication of one device to another without there being an intermediary in the middle. So operating into and out of itself automatically.
The Internet of Things, as it were.
Yep. Internet of Things is a coming, evolving technology. You know, there are... And one of the reasons why you may want to get involved in CloudTech One University is you'll learn why and how those things can get done securely and how they can really go bad if you don't think things out and have an actual strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have about a minute left. I've just got the signal there from Jessica Sara, our able-bodied engineer. So hello, Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
If I could tell you one thing, Mike, that I want to put out there is we're looking for a lot of people to get involved in CloudTech One University. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of marketing messages to get out. We're looking for interns in areas of web design, graphics, audio, video, all the things that you know you do so well. We're looking for interns in those areas to help us do the same thing. And then we invite all of our IT, our fellow IT people out there, that if you want to get involved and evangelize the message for CloudTech One, jump on board, get involved.
Well, do you want to give out contact information for you if they want to reach you personally? How do they do that?
Absolutely. It's very easy. It's 855-6-CLOUD-1.
And if they want to send you an email?
rb@cloudtechone.com.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up here. It's the fastest hour on the internet radio. Don't you think, Jessica? We just buzzed through.
It went by really, 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 really quick today.
Poof, yes. And I was winging it on my own because I said, oh, I just got a text here from.
You did
maybe,
well.
Maybe it's Matt. Huh? Well, never mind. I'm not sure.
Either way, it was a good show.
Okay, yes, it was a great show. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm reading Matt's message.
No, you're good.
I'm distracted, so. Okay. Well, this is Mike Brennan, and we've just had a full load of guests here. We ended with Rick Beckers from CloudTech One University. I think I'll try to get out there on the 18th myself.
Excellent.
But unfortunately, we're out of time, and this is Mike Brennan, and Matt's not with me, but if he were here, he would say,
And Matt Roush.
He's Matt Roush, and you've been listening to M2 TechCast. That wasn't actually Matt, but close enough, you know. So thanks very much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts Matt Roush and Mike Brennan next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.